Legendary author Margaret Atwood is here this morning to tell us about the ebook Erase Me, Episode 3 in the Positron series. It's the latest edge of your seat episode of Positron, the dystopian comedy which takes its darkest turn yet. Atwood's story pits husband against wife and the human impulse to love against the animal instinct to survive. In Erase Me, it's every man and woman for him or herself. It is erotically charged, morally complex, wickedly funny, all of the things that you would expect from Margaret Atwood. She is the author of the internationally best-selling novel The Handmaid's Tale, as well as 40 other books of fiction and nonfiction, including The Blind Assassin and The Year of the Flood. Her most recent collection of stories is Moral Disorder. She is among the most honored authors of fiction working today, and we're absolutely thrilled to have her back on the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. Margaret Atwood, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thank you so much for being with us. It's a great pleasure to have you.
And thank you for all those nice things you just said.
Well, you know, it's I love your work, and I feel inspired by you. You know, I was talking to last night. We had a station event with the environmentalist Bill McKibben. And Bill and I were getting ready to go out, and Bill said, "Who do you have on the show tomorrow?" And I said, "Margaret Atwood." And he said, if I had the choice of anyone to spend a couple hours just talking with, it would be Margaret Atwood. I love her to death. Please tell her how much I enjoy her." So I'm passing that on.
Lovely. Cute.
This is a neat thing for you. This is a series. It's an ebook series. This is part three. It's called Erase Me. It's a bit of a, it is a serial. And I love these because you wait for them to come out and find out what happens next. They're fun for the audience. I don't know. Are they fun for the writer?
I think they're actually quite a lot of fun. I am doing it the same way Charles Dickens did. When he first started publishing, he published in serial form. In those days, they had no internet, so he published a few chapters in a pamphlet, and they were called numbers. And he then got audience reaction and changed his characters and plot accordingly. So it's not a new thing. It's an old thing that's been given a new life by the internet. And one thing that Byliner does is it fills that niche that was left open when magazines and indeed newspapers stopped publishing serials.
We were talking, I had a conversation with the novelist Pete Hamill not too long ago, and he was saying that when he worked for both the Daily News and Newsday in New York, that he would write original fiction for the newspaper, and that was not an uncommon thing. Now it's unheard of, and I think you're absolutely right that this sort of picks that up, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, and there used to be a number of magazines that would do it as well. They would publish fiction, but they would also serialize, and that kind of dried up, I would say, throughout the 60s and into the 70s in most places, except The New Yorker, and a few others do a bit of it, but The New Yorker is still the main one.
Do you write in a serial fashion in the sense of, do you look at it as an individual piece, or is it a larger work that you then edit into chunks, if you will?
No, in other words, have I finished it, and am I just slicing it up?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so it's...
As I say, it's an ongoing thing, so...
Right.
Do I know how it's eventually going to end at this moment? Actually, not.
And so in that process, it's different than a traditional novel. The process is different.
Yes, but remember that traditional novels were not always the traditional novel that we know today.
Right.
A lot of them first appeared in serial form in exactly this way, and others, there was a vogue at one point for the three-volume novel. And the first volume would appear, and if there was enough take-up on that, they would go on to the next two volumes. So the all-in-one novel, you know, all-in-one book cover.
Beginning to end.
Late 19th century. And that's when you get people starting to talk about art in the novel, whereas before that time, people regarded the novel as a fairly low form. And poetry was supposed to be the artistic... important thing.
So when it comes to telling this positron story, versus writing a novel like The Handmaid's Tale, is the process different for you?
Yes, it is different because, first of all, you have to end each section with a question mark, otherwise known as a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And second, because you really, you don't have a chance to go back and rewrite at this point. So with a novel like The Handmaid's Tale, you would write a draft, and then you would go back and revisit it, read it all the way through, make sure that what's at the end is consonant with what's at the beginning, et cetera, et cetera, and do quite a bit of editing on it. Now, we do a lot of editing on the individual sections. In fact, I got into doing the byliner thing through an editor that I already knew called Amy Grace Lloyd. So she works on the individual segments, but neither she nor I can tell you at this moment how these characters are going to end up.
Do you like that, or is that maddening in some sense?
It's something new, and I feel I'm old enough so that I can do this without ruining myself forever. But and by doing it, I can possibly open up a new market that writers can then explore.
And open up new markets for you, and I would assume be a gateway to your other work that is out there, and introduce that to a whole new audience.
I think that might work that way as well. But if you look, for instance, at the Pando Daily, which is an online magazine that tracks trends in internet technology and related subjects, the Serial they tagged as one of the upcoming trends for 2013. So I think we can expect to see other people trying it as well. And we will see how that all works out. I think one of the exciting things about it is it's not at this moment an established thing. So people don't entirely know what to expect. And that's always adrenaline making.
Tell us a little bit about the series. When you originally started, what is the story that you wanted to tell?
Yes, it's the near future. I love that. Because nobody can fact check you.
Right.
So it's the near future, and in the near future, the United States has a problem, which is it has roboticized and offshored itself to such an extent that there aren't a lot of jobs. Is this beginning to sound familiar?
Absolutely.
And therefore, there are a lot of out-of-work people who exist in a kind of, shall we say, barrio kind of existence. They're living in cars and vacant houses and things like that. And these are people who might otherwise previously have had reasonable sorts of jobs. So Positron opens up, and its idea is that it will create full employment for everybody. And it will do that through the criminal justice system, by having a prison in which half of the population acts as prisoners 1 month and the rest act as guards and helpers, and then the next month they all switch around. Mm. So that you're a prisoner 1 month and out in the community the next month, and the month after that you're back being a prisoner again. Now, there's only one problem with that. Real criminals are a problem. So you have to do something about them, because they do disrupt this rather idyllic scheme. The only problem with Positron is that once you have signed on to be part of this gated community, shall we say, you can't get out.
You, in this particular story, Erase Me, you pit husband against wife, and it is, I mean, it's beautifully written, but man, is it funny.
You have a dark sense of humor.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, but I mean, I assume that was intentional. I mean, it does. Yeah. It just has some great, great moments.
Yeah. Sometimes people say that you shouldn't make jokes about serious subjects, but of course, people do all the time.
Sure.
And it's also true that even when you're in a pretty dire situation, people don't change into somebody else. They keep on being who they were, except with a lot more pressure. So Stan, for instance, is still Stan, even though he's in a tight spot.
Erase Me is episode 3 in the Positron series. It is published by Byliner, and you can find out more by going to byliner.com, byliner.com. We will continue our conversation with the great Margaret Atwood after this short break. Margaret Atwood is our guest this morning. Again, the new serial is, it's the Positron series. Episode 3 is out. It's called Erase Me, and it is published by Byliner.com, and you can find out more information by going to Byliner.com. Do you even have an idea as to how many episodes there will be?
I'm writing number 4 at this very moment, and after that, we will see. As I say, it really is like Charles Dickens. But I'm looking probably at a total possible of 9.
And when is that in conjunction with working on a novel, or is that your sole focus now?
Okay, the novel is finished, and it will come out in August, early September of 2013, and it is called Mad Adam, which is spelled M-A-D-D-A-D-D-A-M. Yes, it's a palindrome. And it is number 3 in the series that began with Oryx and Crake and continued with The Year of the Flood. And it continues the action into the future, whereas both of the others stopped at roughly the same point in time.
Did you know that was a story that you wanted to continue upon Year of the Flood?
Yes. Fairly soon after finishing Oryx and Crake, I felt there should be 2 more.
And is that a... I guess I'm curious as to that feeling of how you can sort of see it. There's an imagining of where it can go, and I again, going back to the serial form, of there's question marks that you have that you want to answer.
That's right, and the society explored in Oryx and Crake, you see that through only one narrator called Jimmy, and he has grown up inside the privileged elite that we are told is already forming, technocrats and such, who are now ensconced in their own gated communities because it's become too dangerous for them outside. So he's grown up inside that, and he doesn't have a look at them, at what's outside, except through a train window. So in Year of the Flood, we go to that other part of society and explore it, and in Mad Adam, we go to yet a third part. So it's an exploration of a certain kind of social arrangement, but from 3 different points of view.
When you start a project, do you think about what its toll is going to be on you, in the sense of what the workload is going to be, or does it all kind of vanish when the story takes over?
Okay, the difficult part of writing for me is not the or let us say the taxing part, the part that's most likely to make you ill, is not the writing. It is the book tour.
Yeah.
So that's when you're on a plane with germs.
Right.
Whereas when you're writing, you're not on a plane with germs. Although sometimes I am when I'm writing, because I think the planes are quite a good place to write. Nobody phones you.
but there is a... So let me ask the question a different way, because there's the actual writing of a book, and then
yes,
there's the thinking of a book.
Yes, the thinking usually comes... some of it has to come first, and some of it comes during the process of the writing.
You And in that thinking and in the writing, as you say, that's not as taxing. I mean, obviously it's work, and obviously you're very skilled at it. But in the question of taking on these huge projects, you know, there's the old saying of, you know, writing checks that your body can cash. Is there a point where you say, oh, you know, if I had time, I would be able to do, you know, 50 or, you know, the all of these ideas in my head, it would be nice to be able to work on them faster, because we as a reading public obviously want you to write at full capacity.
Well, this is full capacity. It's true that some other people can write faster, but not me. So this is the speed at which I go.
When you look at this Positron series, what is it? Because one of the things that you talked about the book tour, and you spend a lot of time. You write a novel, as you'll be putting out later this year. You'll go out, you'll do the book tour, and you'll get response. And meanwhile, you have fully moved on. What is it like to get that immediate response to have, as you are now writing number three, having people, I assume, respond to you and think about what happened in episode 1, 2, and 3?
What is it like to do that? I think if everybody had said, this is really horrible and rotten and we're not interested in it, then I would have stopped, as I think Dickens would have with Pickwick Papers. So part of it is just the, shall we say, the peanut gallery cheering section that says, I want to read the next one.
Yeah.
So it's simply that. It's. I don't think this soon people have gotten around to writing, you know, long involved academic papers on it.
Well, no, but simply by if you have, I you know, I don't know what the volume of mail, I assume it's quite a bit, but if you have people come in and say, oh, we love Sam Weller, or we don't like Sam Weller, or we think he should have a much bigger part, or we think he should have a much smaller part, I don't know if I would be able to sort of section that away and say, and not have it in some way influence what I was doing next.
Yeah, well, that is what, in fact, happens. And it's a lot like daytime TV drama, in which if a character is getting a lot of audience response, they get a bigger part, and if it turns out that nobody likes that character very much, oddly enough, they get a strange disease. So now they're not in the story anymore. And you know that happens. So it is, I would say that's the closest analogy to what can go on when you're doing a serial, because those daytime television things are serials.
Now you,
and before them there were radio
dramas.
Ones. You probably remember them. They're usually called, you know, soaps.
Yeah. Now you've mentioned Dickens several times throughout our conversation, and now Dickens would then take out these serials and put them in book form.
So exactly.
Do you see yourself doing that in this case, or the possibility
Absolutely.
Exists? Yeah.
No, I would certainly see myself doing it, possibly with some editing, because one of the things that happens in a serial is that you have to keep reminding people of what happened in the one before. Whereas if you have it all together in a book, you don't need to do that. Another form that I grew up on was comic books.
Yeah.
And quite a few of those had a serial format. So they would always begin by saying, you know, the reason Captain Marvel finds himself in a cave underground, done up with padlocks, is that in the previous episode, his arch enemy, name one,
yeah.
The following. So you're always doing a bit of a reprise. Whereas if you have it all together in a book form, you don't need to do that.
Margaret Atwood's latest in her serial is Erase Me. It is episode 3 in the Positron series. It is an ebook from Byliner.com, and you can find out about Erase Me as well as all of the other episodes by going to Byliner.com. Margaret Atwood, it's always a wonderful treat to have you on this program. Thank you so much for being with us, and best of luck in the future work.
And thank you.
A great pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.